Welcome to this week's virtual drasha. This week we have the incredible privilege to read Parshas Korach, and it's a story we're familiar with. Korach, disappointed that he has been overlooked for a particular position of authority, leads a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. And even the normally mild-mannered, very accepting, very loving, giving of the benefit of the doubt, Moshe Rabbeinu understands that this machlokes poses an existential threat to Klal Yisrael. Not because Moshe Rabbeinu was unsure about the position he had taken, not because Moshe Rabbeinu had any doubt that he appointed the right people in the right positions, but Moshe Rabbeinu understood the destructive nature of machlokes. Internal strife, internal fighting, has the ability to erode the very fabric of Am Yisrael. And as such, again, Korach and his followers are dealt with in a most severe way. We know the story. The earth opens up, swallows up Korach and all of his followers. The Lubavitch Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, whose yard site is this Thursday, Gimel Tammuz, asks a very interesting question. He says, why is the Parsha not named Vayikach? Often, Parshios take their names from the opening phrase in a particular Parsha. So that we give his examples, Vayera, Vayetze, Vayishlach. So why not call this Parsha Vayikach? After all, again, the pasuk starts, Vayikach, Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kos, Ben Levi. So call the Parshas Vayikach. But the truth is, the real question that the Rebbe is really highlighting is, why is the Parsha called, why is it named Parshas Korach? Why go ahead and name the Parsha after a Rasha, after someone who had sown the seeds of discontent, of machlokis, of infighting, of negativity? Why go ahead and put his name up in lights? Why name the Parsha after him? And the Lubavitch Rebbe says something absolutely beautiful. The Rebbe explains, I want to quote you, he says, Machlokes Korach va'adaso, nova mishi'ifaso shel Korach lios kohen gadol. The Rebbe says, what was Korach's claim? What does Korach claim? Korach comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Korach wants to be the kohen gadol. He wants to be the high priest. And what was Korach's claim? What right does he have to be the high priest? He says, ki kol ha'eda kulam kidoshim. Everyone is holy. Ubesocham Hashem, and ultimately the Ribon Shalom resides in each of us. Umadua tisnasu akal Hashem. So why, Moshe Rabbeinu, why do you take all the glory for yourself? Why do you take all the power for yourself? And the Rebbe explains something incredibly beautiful. He says, at the end of the day, what Korach wanted was beautiful. What Korach wanted was holiness. What Korach wanted was kedusha. What Korach wanted was additional outlets for spiritual expression. What he wanted was good. The execution was flawed. The desire was pure and holy. The execution, the way that he went about getting what he wanted, that at the end of the day was fundamentally flawed. The Rebbe goes on, he says, Hapsul, hu eifa lo b'she'ifuso shel korach shel atzma. The psul, the negativity, or the invalidation of that which Korach did, is not in what he wanted. It was his actions, the execution. And therefore says the Rebbe, the name of the parasha is Dafka Korach. Why? Because at the end of the day, Korach himself wanted additional holiness in life. What more should a Jew want in life than more growth, more opportunity? So what was the flaw? The flaw, says the Rebbe, was in the word Vayikach. Remember again, Rashi comments, what does it mean by, he says, literally, Vayikach Korach. Korach took. The only problem is the pasuk doesn't tell us what did he take. And Rashi HaKadosh says, Vayikach Korach, what did he take? Lokach es atzmo litzad echad. Lios nechlok misocha eda. Korach took himself. He removed himself from the klal. He removed himself from the collective. He was willing to go ahead and sow the seeds of machlokes to get what he wanted. Korach's flaw was not in Korach. Korach's flaw was in Vayikach. And therefore says the Rebbe something so beautiful. So the parsha is not going to be called Vayikach, because Vayikach represents the flawed execution. He was willing to wage battle. He was willing to go into machlokes in order to get what he wanted. That's wrong. But we name the parsha Korach to highlight that what he wanted was beautiful. What he wanted was spiritually pristine. What he wanted, additional growth, additional outlets, additional closeness. Ultimately, again, that was beautiful. The Rebbe teaches us a really profound idea that in life, it's not just the thought that counts. It's not just having good intentions, but execution is as important as the intentions themselves. Or to say it a little bit differently, that the purity or the holiness of execution is just as important as holiness of intent. It's not enough to want the right things. It's not enough to have the best intentions. One has to learn to execute them in the right way as well. And I was very struck by this idea of the Rebbe, because I would think that for many of us, this is one of the greatest challenges. I have so many great ideas, but often where my ideas often go off the rails is not in the idea stage, but it's in the execution stage. I wanted to do something nice for someone, but somehow, again, just the way I did it, didn't quite work out. I wanted to go ahead and engage in different avenues of growth, but somehow the plan just didn't materialize as I wanted to. I wanted to go ahead and build relationships, fix relationships, but somehow what I tried to do to get things back on the rail just didn't materialize. And I'm not talking about extenuating circumstances that are outside of you that you have no control over, but rather, again, somehow the ideas are always good when they live in my head, but when they get to the execution phase, often they just kind of fall apart. So how do we address that? How do we go ahead and avoid the Korach dynamic of having all of the most beautiful ideas, goals, and aspirations, but yet failing to properly execute? There's a beautiful story that's told about Rav Ephraim Zalman Margolios, the author of the Mate Ephraim, who lived from 1762 to 1828. The Mate Ephraim, besides being an incredible Talmud Chacham, was also an incredibly wealthy individual. In fact, he owned his own bank. See, he was what we call someone who was ochel al shtei shulchanos. He eats at two tables. He was successful in the material table. He was wealthy. And he also was successful at the spiritual table. He was a holy individual. The story is told that one time, the Mate Ephraim Margolios was sitting and learning in his dining room. And someone had run through the dining room. And as a result, a very expensive crystal wine decanter fell on the floor and shattered. Meanwhile, again, the Mate Ephraim is sitting there with his rabbis and with his wife. And the Mate Ephraim didn't look up from his gemara. He looked up, he saw what happened, he looked back down, and he just went right on. The rabbis and his wife was all upset. Right? At the end of the day, this was so... Yes, they were wealthy. They are wealthy. But just because a person is wealthy doesn't mean they don't care about their possessions. Yaakov Avinu had plenty of money also. Be it as Chazal tell us, he went back for the pachim kitanim, for the small jugs, for the small utensils. A wealthy person recognizes that everything is a matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mate Ephraim, unfazed. The Rebbetzin, all up in arms. So the Rebbetzin turns to her husband and she says, "Hey, Mate Ephraim, don't you see what just happened over here? This expensive decanter just fell on the floor, just totally smashed, and you, no reaction." She says to her, "Listen, I don't want to talk about it right now. Come back to me in a year from now and let's discuss it." Okay, strange statement, but she says, fine. So what happens? She marks the yard site of the wine decanter. And a year later, a year goes by, because the year goes by quickly. She comes back to her husband, right, on the eve of the yard site of the decanter. And she says to him, now it's a year later after Yud Beis Chodesh, yard site of the wine decanter, tell me, how was it that you were so calm, cool, and collected, and I was all upset? So ask the Mate Ephraim, he asks his wife, he says, tell me, how do you feel about the wine decanter now? How do you feel about it now? She says, to be honest, I really haven't thought about it in a while. The only reason even I remember to come to you is because I had marked it on my calendar to come to you on the yard site of the wine decanter to go ahead and ask how you were so calm. But to be honest, when it first happened, it bothered me so much. When it first happened, it was on my mind all the time. And now, to be honest, I don't think about it all that much. So Mate Ephraim says, exactly. He says, when things happen in life to me, Mate Ephraim said, when things happen in life to me, I don't think about how I feel about it now. I think about how I'm going to feel about it in a year from now. See, if it's something that I'm going to be upset about in a year from now, then I'll allow myself to be upset about it now. But if it's the kind of thing that I think to myself in a year from now, it's not really going to matter. So if it's not going to matter in a year from now, then I'm not going to let it rattle me. I'm not going to let it bother me now. What an incredible approach. What an incredible approach. So often things happen in life and we're reactive. We're reacting because in the moment, emotion is strong. In the moment, emotion is intense. Now, the truth is, not even a year from often, in a couple of hours from now, it's not going to bother me. In a couple of days, in a couple of weeks, in a couple of months, certainly in a year from now, I'm not even going to think about it. And the Mata Ephraim says, if you wouldn't have a strong reaction in a year from now, then save yourself the tzar of the strong reaction now. And I think that this is the key to actualizing the Lubavitcher Rebbe's point. The Rebbe is telling us that the entire message of Parshas Korach is that having the right intentions by itself is not enough. You have to know how to properly execute. So how do I do that? Perhaps after I have the intentions, maybe before I execute, before I actually physically perform or actualize those intentions, to stop and to say, okay, I'm about to do X. Right? It's coming from a great place. I have these ideas. I have these wants. I have these desires. I want to make things happen. I have these beautiful, lofty goals and aspirations. I'm a Korach, a good Korach, right? I want to do great things. Here's how I'm going to do it. Okay, before you do it, stop. Pause. Think about, what is this process going to look like? How is it going to unfold? What's going to be the reaction of people around me? And maybe if I begin to map that out in my mind, if I begin to cognitively go through the process of execution, how this is going to be executed, maybe I'm able to catch those mistakes. I was going to do it like this, but if I do it like this, this person is going to get upset. If I do it like this, this is going to offend. If I do it like this, what I really want is not going to come to fruition. So maybe the goal, ultimately, again, is to be the kind of person, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, who is a Korach? I know it sounds strange. Never in your life have you heard someone say, be a Korach, but be a Korach. Because says the Rebbe, Korach had beautiful desires for growth. Korach's mistake was in the execution. So be a Korach in your desires, in your lofty ideas, but be a Mata Ephraim in your execution. Before you go out and embark on the actualization of those ideas and ideals, take a step, take a moment, pause. Think about the process. Think about how it's going to unfold. Think about the pitfalls. Now, once you've done that, now reshape the process to try to ultimately maximize it. And then go on to the execution stage. Then execute. But only after you've thought through the different processes of executing your beautiful ideas, goals, and aspirations. So it turns out that the ultimate Jew has the burning desire and want for growth of a Korach, but the methodical and well-thought-out execution of the Mata Ephraim. May we zoche mi'artz Hashem to internalize these ideas, to dream big, to have incredible, beautiful goals and aspirations, but to have the discipline to execute them in the right way. Wishing everyone a good Neder Shabbos and a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh.